97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is Wellness One, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based healthcare. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
And welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi.
How are you doing today, Aaron?
Amazing.
I am excited. Today, we are going to talk about hormones and the effect that hormones have on the body and what happens when hormones start to decline and the symptoms that go with that. And it's not just something that happens to you when you're old. This stuff actually happens early in life.
Right. And we're going to start really today focusing on what problems, you know, what symptoms can happen if your hormones are off, like why you should care about your hormones being balanced. I don't know how much we'll get into this show about what to do to fix it. We may have to do prior shows because there's just so much with hormones and there's so much misinformation out there. I think there are so many questions that we get that we thought, okay, we need to actually do a show to kind of sum all of this up and make sure that people have the correct information, because it's frustrating for a lot of people. I think there are so many people out there with hormone issues. Some that are suspecting that they have hormone issues and others that have no idea that hormones are the reason why they may be having some problems.
And others yet that are in complete denial that it's their hormones.
Right.
Because
so this show
too.
Is for everyone.
Yes, for everyone.
And to help us, we brought in a special guest. We have Nick Bodie in here with us, who is a nurse practitioner in our office and really an expert on all things hormones.
He's brilliant.
Yes. On all things functional medicine, but really hormones is, well, it's what we're talking about today.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
That's what we're going to focus on.
So welcome.
Well, I don't know about all that, but thank you for that wonderful introduction.
He's very humble. Yeah. He's very humble. So symptoms, let's just talk a little bit about symptoms that happen when people's hormone levels go down.
Okay. Like, well, and I know I'm interrupting you before you even get started.
That's okay.
But
this is life, ladies and gentlemen. This is a story of TJ's Tuesday.
Well, is it the same for men and women? I mean, are we? Because when
kind of
really they yeah. do they have the same problem?
Some are
similar.
Some things like fatigue, some things like brain fog, mm-hmm. definitely can be hormones dropping. Now, you know, in women, you're talking about estrogen going down, but testosterone is in both men and women. Estrogen is in both men and women, and they have very similar. When testosterone goes down, it has very similar effects on men and women.
Yeah, really? Absolutely. And a lot of people are familiar with men's hormones, men's testosterone declining around starting at the age of 30 and declining about 1% every year thereafter.
Right. There are studies everywhere that talk about that.
Yeah. But a lot of people don't realize that women's testosterone actually precedes that by a few years. It can happen in late 20s, early 30s.
Is
as
it
well.
As important with women as it is with men?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's very important.
Yeah.
It's
because they have to be balanced. Is that the issue? Or just because testosterone is important?
Yeah.
a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And really, you need to have testosterone. It's very important for protecting tissues in the body. It protects mm-hmm. tissues. It protects the three B's and an H: bone, breast, brain, and heart.
Yeah.
In both men and women.
Yeah.
And so you know we'll get into this in a little bit, but you know it's cardioprotective. Heart disease is the number one killer in America. But yet what we're watching from a functional medicine side of things is we're watching cardiovascular disease rates are there, but and they're going up, but testosterone levels are slowly declining in both men and women. And if testosterone is cardioprotective, why are we not doing things to increase and optimize testosterone? It's all about optimization of the hormone for you. And your level, your optimal level may be a little bit different than someone else's optimal level, right? Same way with, you know, two men that, you know, are brothers may have different optimal levels of hormone based on activity level and diet and, you know, different things like this. It's all about optimizing for this for each individual person. I think I rambled there, but I think
no,
I answered your question.
I understand what you're saying.
That's a very valid point, very great point. And a lot of times it depends on a lot of other factors, too, like you said. the individual person's lifestyle factors, and looking at blood chemistry too. You know, how much inflammation's going on,
right.
What their cholesterol looks like, what their liver looks like.
Environmental factors.
Environmental toxins are a big one. Hormone disrupting toxins.
Things like fuel additives. Yeah. That's
phthalates,
a big one.
That are in, you know, a lot of antiperspirants and deodorants and
All kinds of plastics, BPA, things like that. Toxic metals.
All those air fresheners you smell when you take an Uber anywhere. you get the car bomb
or Lyft. We're Uber Lyft friendly.
Yeah,
whichever.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. So, you know, what are some other symptoms that people see when hormone levels start to decline?
Well, that's a good question. So, a lot of symptoms may not readily think of being related to your hormones, like brain fog. I know you mentioned that one earlier.
Right. No, it's very true.
Decrease in exercise tolerance is another one. There's some obvious ones like libido and sex drive and things like that.
What do you mean by exercise tolerance?
Like, so you're unable to exercise as long as you used to be able to.
Yeah.
Like, do you just don't have the energy or... Like,
yeah, or stamina. It's about the stamina. You don't have the stamina.
Stamina or energy or motivation, really, just to get off the couch and do it.
You become apathetic and lethargic.
It's interesting because that's just another thing, and we say this all the time, but I can totally see how both men and women can look at that and say, well, I'm getting older.
Yeah.
You know,
so
that's going to happen, right? And never attribute it to the hormones.
Right. And I've said on this show before, getting older doesn't mean anything. We're not supposed to die in parts and pieces and have, you know, this drug for that problem and this drug for this other problem and another drug for a different problem, and you know, we need our knee replaced this year and next year we have our gallbladder out and the following year we
have another knee replacement
and the next year, you know, and then we have some stents put in our heart. That's not how we're meant to go. We're meant to live just beyond 100 and fall asleep quietly and pass away in our sleep. That's what we're meant to do.
We should all be on the Smucker's jar at some point, right?
Everybody should have their name on the Smucker's jar that you made it to 100 years old.
And you're happy and you have whatever it is, you know, advice that you have for people to live that long, because it shouldn't be this difficult.
Right. Instead, we're just, you know, we're keeling over and dying. And that's one of the things about hormone optimization that I want to throw in there. You know, it used to be... When a woman, I mean, most women are familiar with like menopause, and we're going to talk more about menopause, but one of the big things with it is 100 years ago, when you went into menopause, that was when women died. That was the age at death. Yeah. 50 years ago, women were living 20 years past menopause. Now we're living 30 and more years past menopause. Because we're going into menopause, average age in the United States is 51. Right. So we're going into menopause at 51 years old and we're living for another 30 years. You've got to do something to optimize your hormones. Otherwise, you're just going to fall apart.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are some cultures around the world that don't even have a name for menopause. They literally don't understand what that is.
Right.
And a lot of it has to do with the standard American diet or the SAD diet and all of those chemicals we mentioned earlier that we're exposed to that disrupt our toxins.
And we don't just have menopause. It's like people can be in perimenopause. I mean, we've extended it to a huge period of time for a lot of people to explain all of these hormonal fluctuations.
And,
right.
And we have patients that tell us that, this is secondhand information. We don't actually know if the doctor told the patient this or if the patient, you know, is exaggerating with what the conversation was. But we've had people in our office say, well, no, my doctor said that, you know, I could be in perimenopause for 5 or 6 or 7, maybe even 10 years. I mean, seriously? Average age at 51? So we're talking, you could be in perimenopause for 10 years? Holy cow. I mean, what are we doing with those hormone fluctuations?
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. And I know that, you know, you're kind of on menopause now, but...
By accident.
Yeah. Right? Well, but hormone problems don't just start even when people are in perimenopause, right? People, I mean, because I just think we've got people who come in all the time, right, who are in their 20s and are already having hormonal problems.
Yeah, especially if they're stressed out, which a lot of people are. Stress, you know, greatly affects your hormones and it can drive it in the wrong direction and really decrease your hormone levels and then have a whirlwind of problems after that. So,
and we've talked on here a lot of times, too, I mean, we talk a lot about stress, but there are so many environmental things also that, you know, affect the way that your body is functioning. So nowadays, we're seeing a lot of problems that used to come up later happening early and earlier, partly because of diet, partly because of environmental factors. I mean, there are so many different things that, you know, we've talked about the fact that there are so many chemicals that we come into contact with on a daily basis that haven't been tested. We don't even, but I mean, who knows how all that's affecting us?
Well, they get approved, these chemicals get approved in very small quantities, but no one's taking into consideration what it's like when you've been exposed to that chemical for years in low doses every day, day in, day out, day in, day out.
Right.
This stuff really messes with the system.
Right.
I mean, there's no way. There's 100,000 chemicals that have been approved for use in land, air, and water. Yeah. There's no way we can test for all of those.
Yeah, 2,000 new ones each year.
Yeah, so. 2,000 new ones a year. That's three a day.
Which is, I mean, I just wanted to make the point that there are, this is not.
Seven a day. Sorry. I don't math. Well. Aaron was going to let that go.
I was going to let it go.
TJ, boo. TJ, terrible.
But I don't want people listening to this to think, you know, I'm so young. That's not a problem. I mean, the funny thing is that we have so many people who are in their 20s and 30s and are aware of the fact that they have hormone problems who come in and they say, I think my hormones are messed up. Well, can you figure it out?
We see kids that we know have hormone problems.
Right. Yeah. So this isn't just a menopause. You know, this isn't just a getting older problem. I mean, that certainly can put you in a position where your hormones are get out of whack, but that isn't the only thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, we've got to take a break. When we come back, let's spend a little bit of time and talk about like what the symptoms are of menopause, or hormones dropping in both men and women, and what that means, and we'll just kind of go from there and discuss like what you can do to help fix that. You're listening to Wellness One. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Today on the show, we are talking about hormones and symptomatology that goes with hormone dropping. And in the first segment, we were talking about how early in someone's life hormone levels can start to drop, especially testosterone, can happen in men in the 30s and women even as early as late 20s. And so I want to talk for just a minute about like we'll just talk about women for a few minutes here and what estrogen is and what it does in the body, and then what happens when estrogen levels drop. So estrogen is important. It's important for men and women, right? So things that estrogen does, it helps to regulate our menstrual cycle before we get to menopause. It's essential for reproduction for both men and women. It helps regulate some processes that take place in our brain, our nervous system, our bones, our liver, urinary tract, even our GI tract. It stimulates breast growth in puberty. It also helps develop secondary sex characteristics. And it's made mostly in the ovary in females. And it's also made in adipose tissue in both males and females. And this is via this process called aromatization. It's the conversion of testosterone into estrogen. And all aromatization is, it's a fancy word for we cut a carbon off of the chain. It's all it really means. And so this is important because we've talked on this show before about how 2/3 of Americans are overweight or obese, right? So 66% of us are overweight or obese, and adipose tissue produces estrogen, right? So that's a problem. This is how
and
we
not
have
the good kind either.
Right. And that's a great point, Nick. It's not the good kind either. This is the stuff that really causes a problem for people. This is how we know hormones are out of balance and out of whack, and people need to start addressing their hormones at an earlier and earlier age, because if you're overweight or obese, there's no possible way your hormones are optimized. There's just no way, right? That's what's going on. And so what happens to us, what are the symptoms that we see when estrogen levels decrease? So one of the things that happens in women, they start getting hot flashes. That's one of the first signs that they think is signaling menopause. They didn't know that testosterone was dropping 15, 20, 30 years ago. They just know, okay, I'm having hot flashes. I must be going into menopause. By the time you're in menopause, your hormones are all completely out of balance. You can also, when estrogen drops, you can see things like anxiety. You'll end up with vaginal dryness, mood swings, atherosclerosis. So that's hardening of the arteries. Women will get headaches and migraines. They may have an increase in vaginal infections, joint pain, dry skin, bloating, depression, memory lapses. This senior moment thing is a big deal. I was watching the Today Show here. I don't know. I don't remember when it was, but Savannah was talking about her. What was she doing? The interviews? I don't know. She's doing like some 6-minute interviews, and she was rattling off the people, and then she just completely froze and lost the name of one of the people that she had interviewed. And when she came back on, she said, "I just had a senior moment. It's this person." And I've in my brain, I'm thinking, "Uh-oh, I bet you hormones are out of balance in this lady.
Better go get those hormones checked."
Hey, the Institute of Natural Health, yeah. Savannah, you're welcome anytime. Just throwing it out there if you're listening.
And how many people out there, you know, have joint pain or shoulder pain, knee pain, are out there going, "Oh, better go get my hormones checked."
None.
It just doesn't coincide with a lot of people.
They're going to the orthopedist or the physical therapist to try and get their joint pain taken care of.
And that's how we get to a point where we're on so many medications, or like there are so many different modalities that are being used to treat someone, and it's piece by piece and the underlying problem is not addressed.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's, you know, terms out there for conditions like chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and all these other terms, when really a big contributing factor to a lot of those is hormones are out of balance.
Yeah,
definitely. And we've done shows on that. And I know, so if you have chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia, definitely go back and listen to our shows on that, because we talk about the fact that, you know, we get that you're suffering, but you don't have to suffer and you don't have to be on medication. Come in and see us and we'll find out what is actually driving what led you to become diagnosed with those conditions.
Right. So, For women that are, we've thrown out the word menopause, and you know, if we have guys out there, they may not actually know what the definition of menopause is. I'm going to define that for you. So menopause means that you've had no period for 1 year, and that's associated with low estrogen levels, right? So women are officially in menopause after they've not had a period for 12 months, right? And so this happens. The average age, like I've said, in this country is 51. So the estrogen is just you're slowly and progressively slowing down the production of estrogen or progesterone.
But we see it in the clinic as early as 40.
We do see it in the clinic as early as 40. And, you know, not even to mention the stuff when there's been a surgical removal, a surgical menopause. So they've had, you know, a hysterectomy where the ovaries and uterus have been removed for whatever reason was necessary to have that surgery. But a lot of times they don't even do anything to balance out their hormones, or they give them one of these synthetic hormones, which we're going to talk about in another show, and the differences between synthetic and bioidentical hormones. We'll get into that in another show, but they come in after they've had this and their hormones are completely out of whack because they were going along, everything was fine, and then boom, they're zero. And whether that's a huge problem, it, like I said, hormones protect four things: bone, brain, breast, and heart. And women that have had a surgical hysterectomy have crazy levels of increased mortality. In fact, there was a study done. The last name of the guy that did the study was Cyril. And I'm sorry, I'm nerding out a little bit here, but this is the PhD in me. This actually was published by the American Journal of Public Health in July of 2013. And the title of the article is "The Mortality Toll of Estrogen Avoidance: An Analysis of Excess Deaths Among Hysterectomized Women Aged 50 to 59 Years." They basically followed women for 10 years that have had a hysterectomy between the ages of 50 and 59, and they found that 18 to 91,000 died prematurely, and they had excess mortality from acute myocardial infarctions, heart attacks, and breast cancer.
Yeah, and these women were not on hormone replacement therapy.
No estrogen given.
They did not get
any
hormones whatsoever.
They avoided estrogen. And this is just one of those things where I'm just like, why are we doing this to these women? I mean, that's a lot of people that are dying at an increased rate for no reason whatsoever. It could have been completely avoided. But I digress. I'm sorry. I got off track. But you know, like I said before, you know, women are living 30 plus years into menopause. This is a big thing in getting hormones optimized, right? And we've talked about women and we've picked on women. Let's pick on men a little bit. there's this whole concept of andropause. And andropause is when men decrease production of testosterone. And you said earlier, give your information on the when testosterone production starts to drop.
Yeah, so testosterone for men can drop starting in the early 30s. And it typically declines, on average, about 1% to 2% every year. And that's just if you have nothing else going on, no exposure to toxins, no, you know, poor lifestyle, poor diet, you know, everything like that. So
if you had the other issues that were contributing, could you see it even earlier than 30?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we are seeing that.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. And not only just earlier, but faster rates of decline.
Yeah.
Really?
So it's not 1% to 2% a year. Maybe it's 5% to 7% a year. Maybe even 10% a year is falling off.
So by the time someone comes into you, even in their early 30s, they're way lower than what is
right.
that what you're saying?
Yeah,
they're way lower than what they should be.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's actually just scary. I mean, you know, we've seen testosterone should be relatively high in a guy. Optimized, it's relatively high. We've seen men with super, super low levels of testosterone. It's scary low. Yeah.
Like, but I'm guessing if they're young, they're thinking that wouldn't be an issue yet, right? I mean,
right.
So they don't even know to
exactly.
have their hormones
yeah, it's,
checked.
It's right. not common knowledge yet, but
right.
that's
right.
what we're trying to change.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. That's what we're trying to get trying to spread that word. Yeah. It's exactly right. So with men, so to define andropause is just low testosterone or testosterone deficiency. Basically, the testicles just aren't producing enough testosterone, right? And so this can be either a primary or a secondary cause, right? Primary is when there's low testosterone production by the testicles. Simple. Secondary is when you get fewer signals from the brain. The testicles are actually told by the brain or they're not told by the brain to make testosterone. So basically, this means that there's a break in the hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal, thyroid, gonad axis. And I say all of them because some of you out there are probably like, wait, what is this axis? What are you talking about? A lot of people and a lot of our listeners I know have heard about the HPA axis, the hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal axis. But that's only a small piece of this axis. There's actually more parts to that, right? The other parts are thyroid and the gonads, and you have to look at all of them all at once. And we have tons of patients that come into the clinic, and they're like, well, I was being seen by, you know, this functional medicine practitioner. First, we ask who that was, because we know that there are a lot of people, like we said before, there's no one policing someone from saying that they practice functional medicine, whether they have any kind of certification or not. And they only look at a small piece of the puzzle, because that's all they really know about. They don't look at the added pieces to this puzzle, and they're missing something.
Right.
Right? It's like, oh, you have adrenal fatigue. Well, then maybe you have adrenal fatigue because you have autoimmune thyroid and primary hypogonadism, right? It happens.
And that's something that, you know, we really stress to patients, because we have patients who have gone to see someone else and they'll say, well, they were cheaper. And we're like, yeah, well, they didn't run the correct testing. You know, we don't compromise on that. If you need specific testing in order for us to determine if you're needing hormones, we're going to do the testing or we're not doing the hormones. It's that simple. There are a lot of places that don't do that. They do very basic testing. They're like, oh, well, this is off and we'll give you hormones. And that is not the right way to do it.
No,
that's how people end up eventually back in our clinic to get fixed.
Yeah. So I can't impress upon you enough about how often that actually happens,
yeah.
where we're just like, okay, this we're missing a whole. We didn't look at the whole picture. You know,
right.
we looked at one piece of the puzzle, not all thousand. And
right.
you've got to look at a much bigger piece.
Or who you went to didn't look at the
right,
whole puzzle.
Right, exactly. And the patients, no offense to you guys out there, you guys don't know.
Right.
Yeah. You didn't know that there was a difference. And there is. All right. We've got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about hormones. You're listening to Wellness One. And welcome back to the show, everyone. Nothing like getting pumped up with a little rush to come and talk
yes.
about hormones. I'm telling you. All right, so getting back into hormones, you know, hormones protect four basic tissues. You know, that's what we want to hammer that point home. Hormones protect the three B's and an H: bones, brain, breast, and heart. That's what they do. And when your hormone levels start to drop, you start running into conditions that happen due to those hormone levels dropping.
Right. Like, you know, one of the things that we've talked about, you know, with women is when they enter into menopause, and there's what we call the seven dwarfs of menopause.
Pay attention, ladies.
itchy, bitchy, forgetful, sweaty, bloated, sleepy, and all dried up. And there are so many of you I know out there now who can relate to that.
Yeah.
You know, before or after.
Guys, you can relate to it too.
Yeah,
trust us.
Right.
We know. I mean, it's so true. These are huge complaints when women come to see us. Yeah. I can't tell you how many check off the mark, bloated and forgetful. Those two hit us like crazy.
Yeah.
And then they don't really say that they're bitchy. Yeah. But they will. We'll get that out of them.
Well,
if they're a little short-tempered
also,
or grouchy,
once they're fixed. Yeah. We'll say, I don't get set off nearly. Things don't bother me as much.
I don't hate my husband nearly as much as I did before.
Yeah, I don't like the people in my life are not as awful as I thought they were.
Yeah. It's funny. One of the things that we hear first out of someone's mouth after they've gotten their hormones just beginning to optimize is, we'll ask, what have you noticed as a change? First thing almost always comes out of their mouth is, I'm happier.
Happier. Yeah, exactly.
I'm happier. We hear it. It happens.
But I think this is really important for women to hear because I don't know that they necessarily relate this to hormones and they just think it's a difference in personality, you know, or you're getting older and, you know, and it's so gradual. It's not like one day you wake up, you know, I mean, like you talked about surgical menopause, like, you know, it's a very definite line where all of a sudden things have changed. Most women don't have that. This is going to be so gradual that I think that's why we really wanted to list them. So if you are listening to it, you know, you're able to say, okay, yeah, that has changed. I am different than I was, you know, 5 years ago, because it's not something that happens overnight. And I mean, there's a reason why middle-aged women, I mean, I've said that all the time, like in my own career and in my life, middle-aged women can be really difficult to deal with. And this is why. And so those of you out there who are, because I am getting to that age, I'm just like, I want to make sure this does not happen because it does to so many women.
Nick, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that she said that.
I was just thinking
that. Because if we said that, oh boy, it'd be over.
Yeah. And I have to comment too that I find myself educating a lot of women on what exactly menopause is, how long it lasts, what the symptoms are. And
they don't know.
Yeah.
And it's they don't know that hormones are affecting them. They just think that it's, like I said, a difference in, you know, personality or something. It's not until they get it fixed that they're like, you know, especially we talked about like the bitchiness. They're like, wow, things are, you know, I mean, not only are, you know, they feeling better themselves and they're happier, but everyone around them is happier.
Yeah,
like
people
want to be around them more.
Yeah, sometimes we get thank you cards from significant others.
Yes.
that's exactly true. And once in a great while, we'll have a significant other actually come in and shake our hand.
Yeah. Well, but it also goes the other way too. And I don't know if you want to stay on menopause, but I mean, men have the same, they have huge differences too when they get their hormones regulated.
Oh, absolutely. Guys, one of the biggest things with guys is they feel alive again.
Yeah.
We get these guys, like women will talk to us. Most of the time women will get their stuff optimized and then they're dragging their husband in, but their husbands are much more open after they've seen the change that has happened with their wife. They're like, wait, this can happen with her. Maybe it can happen with me. Yeah. And they're tired of being tired. They're tired of not having any drive. They're tired of being, you know, falling asleep on the couch.
The men
are just, they're just tired of it. Yeah. And so they want to feel young again and, you know, be able to go out and do things and not be asleep at 7:30.
Absolutely. And it can cause irritability too.
Low
testosterone can cause irritability.
Yes.
And a lot of men don't realize that.
That's why it's so important, you know, when we fix one person in a relationship, that a lot of times, you know, that helps both of them because they realize, okay, maybe that's what's happening with me too. If you both are having hormonal problems and you're both a little more irritable, it's going to make the relationship really difficult. At the same time, if just one of you is having the problems, and we talked about the loss of libido, if only one of you is experiencing that, it becomes really difficult in the relationship because there can be a lot of blame. You don't know that it's hormones that are causing it. There's so many, this has such huge repercussions into your whole life.
And if experience teaches me anything with what we see with patients, the communication starts to fall off very quickly. Mm-hmm. And the men aren't talking to the women and vice versa. And there's just this inner turmoil and there's this just spiraling that's going on inside each of them that goes away as soon as hormones are optimized.
Yeah. And right. sometimes it's difficult to initiate that with a spouse or even with a clinician. And, you know, some people are just embarrassed and,
right.
you know, really nothing to be embarrassed about.
Right. Luckily for us, our patients are referring their friends and loved ones and family that they know need the hormone
they
help.
Start
and they come
in
saying,
people.
Hey, can right. I get that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because once they're fixed, they're like, oh my gosh, there are so many other people I know who are experiencing this too. Like, I didn't know that this was it. A lot of people think it's their own change in personality or a change in their relationship or that their spouse has changed. They don't attribute to hormones. And that, I mean, it can have huge effects on your life. And that's, I mean, which is a great thing with us getting hormones balanced because we're able to see all of the benefits that people, you know, receive once they actually get things figured out.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why I love hormones and I'm so passionate about it is it can make a huge difference in someone's life. And it, people are just so thankful when you yeah. get the hormones optimized that, you know, it's just it really rewarding as a practitioner.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. It's yeah. there's nothing better than someone coming in and telling you thank you, hi, giving you a high five, and just they're just excited or
I
even
totally
a hug.
Yeah. Side note. I
sure.
Mean, completely
side
off
note.
Topic.
I don't ever do that. By the way,
this not is allowed.
Not. I don't ever.
We did recently, and I meant to say this before, because we're not far out from Thanksgiving, but we got so many messages from people saying that we're thankful for you. And, you know, like this year on Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for, you know, what, you know, my return to health or things that, and really it makes a huge impact on us because, you know, we don't always hear the good things. I mean, you know, we tend to work on, you know, if someone's having an issue, we're fixing that. It's also something that, I'll be honest, I don't know that I would have actually thought to do. And it's actually kind of changed my perspective because I'm like, there are people who I need to be more, you know, better at telling people how thankful I am. But I just want all of you out there who did reach out. And I think we've actually responded to all of you. But I want to say on the air how much we appreciate that because it's huge to us to know that we're making this sort of impact.
Right. We'll let that percolate for a second. Yeah, that was very good. Very good. So we'll go back on to the hormone topic. So let's spend a few minutes talking about conditions that happen when hormones start to decline. So we're talking about like menopause, andropause, the things that take place when our hormones just drop off. For women especially, after menopause, the risk of osteoporosis skyrockets. Women lose an average of 25% of their bone mass from the onset of menopause, which on average is at 51, until the age of 60 due to loss of estrogen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy how osteoporosis just takes off. And then that's just one bone
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, right? And there are certain forms of hormone replacement, like pellets, that can make a huge impact for osteoporosis. In fact, they can increase bone density by as much as 8.3% per year.
That's in a clinical study. That's taking someone, ladies and gentlemen, 8.3% increase is taking someone that's osteoporotic and making them normal bone density.
Yes.
Right? You won't hear that anywhere but here. Right? That's just not that's not going to be common knowledge,
yeah.
but it's so, so true.
Yeah.
So that's one big one. Another one is after menopause, your risk of decreased cognition and Alzheimer's disease. I mean, the risk of Alzheimer's and cognition just starts to climb once menopause happens. You've got to keep these hormones regulated. Some other ones we're going to talk about after the break. Cardiovascular disease and breast and other forms of cancer. We'll touch on those when we come back. You're listening to Wellness One. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in, you have missed, in my opinion, which is the one that matters on this show because it's our show. We've had a great show today. I mean, we've been talking about hormones and imbalances, and Aaron rattled off the seven dwarfs of menopause. We've talked about what happens when your hormones get out of balance, the symptoms that take place. And before the break, I said that we were going to come back and we're going to talk about cancer and cardiovascular disease. after menopause or when your hormones start to drop. Cardiovascular disease is one of those, it's kind of near and dear to me. For those of you who don't know my story, when I got into functional medicine and started doing it, that's what I focused a lot of my time and energy on, was cardiovascular disease, because it's actually pretty easy to reverse a lot of cardiovascular disease, and it doesn't take a lot of time. And you know, when you can help someone by lowering their blood pressure and lowering their cholesterol and decreasing their overall risk of dying of a heart attack, they're pretty thankful, since heart disease is the number one killer in America. But with menopause, you know, a lot of people, I don't think, realize 1 in 7 premenopausal women will die from heart disease. But in postmenopausal women, that number goes up to 1 in 3. So we go from about 16-17% up to 33%. We double the death rate of heart disease by just going through menopause. That's incredible.
That's huge. Yeah.
And that can be easily thwarted by using and optimizing your hormones, right? It's killer. I mean, more than 200,000 women die each year from heart attacks. And just for those of you out there who are curious, that's 5 times as many women that pass away from breast cancer. That's a huge number.
Yeah.
It's a huge number.
And I don't think people think about that as much with women.
No.
I don't think, yeah. I mean, I would, that surprises me.
Right. Yeah. You lose the protective effect of hormones, because they're in the tank. Yeah. Testosterone started dropping 15, 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
And then estrogen drops and your hormones are in the tank and all these other diseases happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good point about, you know, cancer and things too, because I get a lot of questions. Women are scared of hormones because they've been unfortunately told and, you know, misled that hormones cause cancer.
Right.
If that were the case, then every 13-year-old raging hormonal, you know,
adolescent is going to be full of cancer.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's just not what happens. Yeah. I mean, we bring that up. The average age of breast cancer in this country is 61 years of age.
Yeah.
Right? That's 10 years after menopause happened, mm-hmm. right? That's a diagnosis. The average age of prostate cancer is like 65, 66, something like that. By the time their men's testosterone is in the tank, these are not conditions of hormone excess. These are conditions of hormones being way too low.
And aren't most cancers in your body like at least 7 years before they're detected or something like that?
You've had them for a while.
Yeah. Probably it's, you know, you take a year or two with really decreased hormones and it starts, you know,
it starts
you become
the process.
To a risk, that it will start to form. I think that's really scary but important information.
Right. And that's, I don't think enough people, when I use that example a lot with people in our clinic, what we just said, you know, that like, well, what about hormones causing cancer? I'm like, well, just like Nick said, if you think about this with common sense, your hormones are highest when you're younger, they're lowest as you age. When do we have cancer? We have it when we age. It's not when we're young. And then people look at us and go, oh, I never thought about it like that. Like, exactly. Yeah. We're trying to bring some common sense back to medicine. It's been lacking for a few years.
Yeah.
Right? It's one of the things. So with the whole breast cancer and other cancers, I mean, testosterone and progesterone are protective to breast tissue and uterine lining. The testosterone and progesterone are protective to breast tissue and uterine lining. Let that sink in for a second. It's protective, right? That's extremely important, right? Estrogen does not increase nor decrease the risk of breast cancer. Now, we will talk about I think it's next week's show, we're going to talk about, you know, different types of hormones, bioidentical hormones versus synthetic hormones. That's not necessarily the case when we talk about synthetic hormones. We're referring to bioidentical hormones right now.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. And we'll define that as next week. Bioidentical is exactly like the molecule that's your body makes, whereas synthetic is a different structure. We're going to talk about that in much more detail in our next episode. But that's something to take into consideration, it's not the issue if you're taking a bioidentical form, right? I mean, I don't think that we can impress upon you enough the number of diseases and conditions that come with hormone levels dropping.
Yeah, I think we've just scratched the surface, really.
Yes, we literally have just scratched the surface. I mean, testosterone on the heart, we increase blood flow. It decreases inflammation. It improves our insulin resistance. It reduces body fat. I mean, it's important that we make sure that we have enough testosterone in the system. I mean, we were just talking about menopause and women and their estrogen levels dropping, but andropause with men and the testosterone dropping, I mean, guys die of heart disease at an older age too. They have heart attacks and things. And these are all things that we really, you know, have to pay attention to. This is stuff that matters. And a lot of people want to know, like, well, what do I do? How do I start? What would be something for me to look for in hormone optimization? Find yourself a functional medicine practitioner. We say that all the time, over and over again. We can't say it enough. Find someone that's actually certified in functional medicine, right? You can find that information out. Ask them, what is your certification in functional medicine? They'll tell you if they have one. If they don't have one, be leery.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
there's absolutely no policing who's using the term functional medicine, right? Just there's just no policing. And, you know,
yeah, and make sure it's a certification. It's not, well, I have some continuing education credits in things that, you know, to teach me how to do things from a functional medicine perspective.
Right.
That's, I mean, you know, a couple of hours, I wouldn't trust someone to be, you know, trying to figure out complex medical issues.
Right.
I mean, it's just not enough education. It just isn't.
No.
And the practical experience. The other thing you want to see,
exactly,
like, how long have you been doing this? How many patients do you see? Because there's only so much that you can learn in a textbook. I mean,
right,
it's just, yeah, that's the case with anything in life.
It,
so
it's all about the experience and noticing the little nuances that each person presents that just completely change the complexity of their case and where you have to go. I remember one patient in particular, it wasn't too long ago. I literally, we'd gotten all the way through their consultation. We're an hour and a half in. And I literally asked, is there anything else? And they threw out one sentence that created 45 more minutes of the consultation. It completely changed our entire perspective on what was going on and the avenue of which we tested and what we did to help that person, right? Yeah. If we hadn't asked that question, and a lot of people don't, they tell us, I've never been asked that question.
But you always ask that question.
Right?
I mean,
we,
you know,
do.
Like, it just, it's, yeah, because you never know what's going to come up.
Right. You never know. And you never know what they think is not important.
Plus, we always say, you know, I mean, we're there to help, you know, you as much as possible. So it makes no sense for us to just talk about, you know, what we want to talk about and not give you the opportunity to bring up what you really want to have discussed.
Right.
So it gives, you know, I mean, we always make sure that you have the opportunity to bring up any issues that you have going on.
Right. And just, I mean, for those of you out there listening, guys, women don't wait for menopause to get your hormones optimized. Guys, don't wait until your libido's in the tank or until you have erectile dysfunction. By the time erectile dysfunction comes, your testosterone is so low that you have an increased risk of mortality, yeah, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You pick it. You pick, yeah, a disease. You already have the problem because, yeah, low erectile dysfunction is the last thing to happen with testosterone as, yeah, far as major symptoms, yeah, go.
But if you're experiencing, yep, that, definitely come in.
Yeah, absolutely, if you're experiencing, yeah, that now, yeah, come in. We can help.
Cardiovascular disease is already very prevalent at that point.
So. That's right. So that's about all the time we've got for today. I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you want more information, visit our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Give us a call, 314-293-8123. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Shoot us an email. We'd love to hear from you. If you have ideas or suggestions or questions, we try to respond to you as quickly as we can. That's the show for today. I want to throw out a special thank you to Nick for being here and talking hormones with us. For Aaron, Nick, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness One. Thanks for listening.
Get more at 971talk.com.